Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Of course, we are asking you to hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line Michael Shaw. And Michael is a man who is just totally immersed in trying to do something about this effort to take away our property rights, this whole idea of sustainable development and Agenda 21. What most Americans find so difficult to believe is that there really are people who want an authoritarian dictatorship in America, and who are working through the local government agencies as part of a coordinated plan, coordinated on a worldwide basis, to take the freedom away from everybody. And people say, how could that be? Well, I'm going to let Michael tell you about it, because he's done some wonderful work, done some wonderful studies, and incidentally, he's going to be a speaker at the conference we're going to be putting on the 29th of October, which you'll certainly want to be able to come to. Under any circumstances, Michael Shaw, you pick up the story, please.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you for having me on the show. You know, this issue of sustainable development is really the most critical issue that Americans have ever faced. And the remarkable thing about the proponents of the sustainable development movement is that they've been able to seep into every county in this country without residents generally having any idea of what they're doing. And if they do hear the term sustainable, well, gee whiz, it sounds like a wonderful thing. After all, who would want something that's not sustainable? But what we're really talking about is bringing to America sustainable tyranny. Because this program is the globalist program. It is what the Democrat and the Republican parties are working so coordinatedly on. And it's evolving into affecting all aspects of everyone's life. And for those listeners who aren't used to hearing sustainable development or don't know what it is, that may sound like a grand overstatement. And certainly it would be a tremendous overstatement if it weren't absolutely true. Our federal government is totally dedicated to this global to local program called sustainable development, and it really means the elimination of the American ideals.
You're absolutely right, and what is so difficult for people to understand is that this is not happening by accident. It's happening as part of a great plan, and while our attention is focused on the Near East and the Middle East, and while our boys are fighting over there for freedom, Americans are losing their property rights and their individual freedom here at home. So Iraq and Afghanistan and the coming war with Iran will be great diversions, just as Vietnam was a great diversion some 25 years ago. You pick up the story there, please.
Well, there are plenty of diversions going on, although you can really begin, once you understand sustainable development, you can begin to understand the role that these global war breakouts play in implementing sustainable development. See, sustainable development is a global plan. The idea is the elimination of private property and free enterprise. And so when so many young people are committed to these war efforts around the world, and those war efforts are designed to, one, create hostility between peoples, and two, batter down resistance to the sustainable program around the world, you can begin to put these outbreaks of war around the world into a context, into the globalist context. And what's so sad here in America is that we don't have any organized political movement that is putting its focus on this and that is fighting against it.
Right.
I don't care who the next president is going to be. That president, like the one we have now, like the one we had last, like the one we had before that, will be firmly committed to these goals.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU. And ask for George.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course our guest is Michael Shaw, and we're talking about the threat of sustainable development. And this is the most incredible program, and yet most people are not aware of it until suddenly they find out that they can't use their property, they can't develop their property. Their property is being taken away from them under one guise or another. But it's much more than property. It's really every aspect of our lives that they intend to regulate and control. They intend to get the price of oil and gasoline up so high, you're not going to be able to afford it. They plan to raise the price of electricity so high that you're going to have to cut back on your standards of living, and many industries, even more, will be forced to leave our country. They plan to take away our ability to grow crops effectively and to grow livestock effectively because they want to return the world to the way it was before the evil white man came. And people say that's crazy talk, but it isn't really crazy talk, is it, Michael? Michael?
Really, what is happening? You know, people can't imagine that the goals of sustainable that anyone could hold the goals of sustainable development as genuine goals of world leaders. But the problem is that it is the case. This is happening. And if you happen to find the use of your property stripped away from you, most people who have that happen to them still are unaware that sustainable development is the political engine and the political philosophy that sits behind that. People need to understand that sustainable development is really a popularized expression for what's called Agenda 21. Now listen to that term, Agenda 21. Well, Agenda 21 came out of the United Nations in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. and it was the comprehensive plan, this is their words, the comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations systems, governments, that includes the American government, and major groups in every area in which humans impact on the environment. When sustainable development is fully implemented, in the words of their Wildlands Project leaders, like Dr. Michael Soleil at the University of California, Santa Cruz, or David Foreman, who's been a leader in all of this, the goal is to have 500 million human beings on this planet. That's a reduction of 93% of current population. So it has a whole lot more to do with private property, unless we're going to consider ourselves our own private property, because they're about eliminating all things true and free in this world. And they're making good headway at doing that. And you can tell that by just seeing the commitment that the President of the United States gives to the notions of sustainable development in the United Nations program generally.
Well, what you're suggesting then, Michael, is that they really do intend to dramatically decrease the world population by 90%?
Yes. And they do that first by eliminating the middle class, creating global food programs that starve people. Wars everywhere. If you ever watched the movie or read the book 1984, that's what sustainable development is at its core.
And it's so difficult, I think, for most people to realize that they would kill millions and millions of people. And yet, between 1958 and 1942 in China, the Chinese government, which was fully backed by the American government, by at least by the elitist in America, you know, starved to death between 41 and 43 million of their own people. You can go up on the internet and type in the Great Hunger and Google that in, and Great Hunger in China. They usually use the figure 35 million, but the official government figures are 40 to 43 million. How would you conceal that from the American people? Why, we wouldn't want them to worry, to realize that maybe next time it'll be Americans that'll be systematically starved to death by a regime that our government installed. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, you know, for those who are a little wary right now of and are thinking, well, gee, this is gross overstatements, the first thing the public needs to grapple with is the American government's commitment to the ideals of the ideas of sustainable development. In 1992, when the United Nations announced this down in Rio de Janeiro, George Bush was there. He was sitting on Prince Charles's yacht right offshore, and he signed the United States to the administrative implementation of Agenda 21.
Was that George Herbert Walker? Was that Daddy, or was that
That was
Junior?
Daddy, yes. Yes, the original President Bush. And then a year later, when Clinton took office, by executive order, he created the President's Council for Sustainable Development. Now, when he did that, he ordered all federal agencies to take their role in the implementation of sustainable development. And you can go into the website and put in the word sustainable development, and every federal agency will show you how their commitment to these goals is being implemented. From the Department of Agriculture to the Department of Housing and Urban Development to the Department of Commerce, every department has their program for implementing sustainable development policies. If you're a farmer, you need to understand that the Federal Department of Agriculture is working toward the elimination of free enterprise farming. When you understand that, you can begin to organize and fight back.
And you have to fight back, because if you don't, if you're a farmer, you're going to be destroyed. You know, if you certainly, you know, are just the average citizen, property owner, you're going to be destroyed. They really want to destroy everything, and they want everything controlled by a ruling elite. And that's why, of course, this ties into Prince Charles and his yacht, the Britannia, because all of these ideas were put forward by people of great wealth who have a different worldview. They want a ruling elite, and there are too many people here on the earth who are sharing and using up their natural resources. That's the way they look about it. And they really do have a program of mass genocide, as incredible as it may seem. You need to read their material, and if you can go up on my webpage at RadioLiberty.com and pull down my population control agenda monograph and verify what I'm saying, and I know that Michael has a great deal of information on these same subjects, there are people who have a different worldview. That's what it's all about.
Well, it is, and the program just keeps marching forward. In 1997, the counties and mayors created the Joint Center for Sustainable Communities. And you can go to a city like Seattle, and there's a city that's fully committed and well down the road toward implementing the land use policies of sustainable development. Now, those land use policies are broken really into two categories. One's called the Wildlands Project. And the Wildlands Project calls for over half the United States to be off limits any human activity. That means we can't use the resources, we can't recreate. It is why the roadless program from the Clinton administration was implemented on tremendous, vast areas across the West where the roads were to be destroyed. And that program will continue to grow as time moves along, and we'll continue to see these massive wildfires as we're unable to manage our forests out here in the West. And even in the South, so the effects, the disastrous effects of this kind of policy designed to eliminate the American middle class and begin the reductions of human populations around the world, is already showing its effect. In 2001, the governors of this country, all 50 of them, endorsed what's called smart growth. Now, smart growth is the plan for urban America, where all people are to be jammed into smaller and smaller areas. The automobile is to become a thing of the past, except for the governing peoples. And everyone's to ride trail lines. Here in Santa Cruz, we're a rural community. The federal government's going to pour hundreds of millions of dollars into the creation of a train line, along which mass development of stack'em and pack'em housing will be built. And of course, we've seen that in places like Seattle. It's coming to Los Angeles. It's throughout the country. This idea of smart growth is taking hold, and that's going to change how we live, how many of us survive, and its net effect is the destruction of the concepts of America.
Well, now, Michael, how can people verify what you're saying? I mean, I know what you're saying is true because I've been studying it, but for the person out there who's listening or may have hearing this for the first time, they say that sounds like some sort of a conspiracy theory. I mean, nobody would be wanting to do something like that, to kill off 90% of the world's population, and certainly our elected representatives wouldn't go along with that, and after all, we live in America. That couldn't happen here. What do you say when somebody says that?
Well, there are plenty of sources for the information, sources that take the documents that come from the sustainable developers and begin to put them in a way where you can relate them to other documents. We have a website called Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, and we've done a lot of that work, and on our website, you'll find references to many others across America, and in England, and in Australia. I mean, many people around the world are beginning to figure this out, but sources like that can begin to tie this all together and give you the source documents that just prove it out to you. I mean, for someone like me, going along as a businessman and raising children, this is the last thing I wanted to spend my time on. But when you find it out, there's not much else you can do.
Well, I'm glad that you did find out, Michael, and I'm glad you're, on the front lines of this battle. And for our listeners, of course, Michael lives in the same community that I did, the People's Republic of Santa Cruz, and he had his own organization here, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. And you go to their website, get their information. It's good information. Michael did a program here at Radio Liberty for a time, but now he's devoting himself full-time, like Paul Revere, to try to awaken the American people. And you need to help him. We'll be right back in just a moment at Genesis. Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radio Liberty, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radio Liberty Health Catalog.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Genesis Communication Network, and ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about people who really believe in genocide. There is a worldwide genocide program. Of course, wars produce that, diseases, all the new diseases that they've created. Some of them are lethal, like AIDS and Ebola and Marburg disease. These are new genetically created diseases. And then we have these diseases that make you so sick you wish you could die, but they're working on all sorts of horrible new diseases now. in total violation of the Biological Warfare Treaty, and you wanted documentation of that, we'll be glad to get it for you. But the most important thing to understand is that population control is just part of this whole sustainable development program. Agenda 21 is the secret agenda for the 21st century. That's what it's all about. And you can get it from United Nations. That's where I got my copy. This is being coordinated throughout the entire world. And there's not one in 1,000 people who has any idea what's going on. Michael, you pick up the story.
Well, I agree with everything you said, Stan, except there is nothing secret about this. Now, the fact that ABC News doesn't talk about it doesn't mean that it is secret. It is. If someone typed in Agenda 21 to their Google, they get over a million sites.
Sure.
That will tell you far more than you need to know. But let me give a quote from a man named Maurice Strong, who was the Secretary General of the United Nations at its 1992 Rio de Janeiro conference, which is where Agenda 21 was unleashed upon the world formally. He said then, that, quote, current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class, that means your average American, which involves high meat intake, use of fossil fuels, appliances, meaning refrigeration, home and work air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable. So you can look around your community now and you realize, wherever you live, that landowners sitting out on the edge of their communities are under real assault. They can't use their properties to expand the housing base or for much of anything. But you need to understand that the attack is going to move in on suburban dwellers. People are to be stacked and packed in these new age housing units built along railroad tracks. You see, in their treaties, 1,100 page treaties called the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, they tell you what's not sustainable. 1,100 pages of what's not sustainable. It includes private property, golf courses, ski lodges, irrigation. Now we're going to get our farm food if we can't irrigate. Monotheism. And that's why we want to create these wars between the major religions of the world. Commercial agriculture is not sustainable. The family unit is not sustainable. See, back in 1976, the United Nations declared that, quote, private land ownership is also a principal instrument of wealth and therefore contributes to social injustice. Public control of land use is therefore indispensable. America at its root is being rocked by the Sustainable Development Program, and very few people even know what the term means. We've got a big job to do, Stan.
You sure do, and you're doing a good job of it. And ladies and gentlemen, check it out and find out if it's really true. Google in Agenda 21. Google in population control. Google in the Global Biodiversity Assessment. You can actually buy this, 1,142 pages, published by Cambridge University Press, I believe, and I have a copy of it. But it's summarized in our Sustainable Development syllabus. You have some excellent material on sustainable development. Michael, how can people get your material?
Well, I think the best way to get our material is just go to the web at freedom21, that's a 2-1, santacruz.net. Freedom21SantaCruz.net. And we've been compiling information written locally and written across the country and from around the world that gives you the local, national, and global scene on sustainable development and brings it together so you can see how this stuff is being implemented in your town. And I can tell you, I don't care where you are listening to this radio show, every county in America has its sustainable development program. And it's not called that. Here in Santa Cruz, we actually call it Agenda 21. But elsewhere, it's called terms like smart growth or comprehensive planning or visioning sessions. And every county has a plan that has been adopted, that is ready to be implemented for bringing that county to this new world order status, the global to local. Is what they always call it. Bring global ideas into your county. And it's always window dressed. It's always got some smooth-tongued advocates that roam around. with the basic attack on private property, family units, and American freedom.
Amen to that. Well, when we get back here in a few minutes, but I will be glad to take your calls at 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Michael Schwalm. We're talking about sustainable development. We're talking about a program which exists in literally every county, not only in the United States, but every community throughout the world. And these are coordinated. They're coordinated from central authority. They're coordinated through the United Nations. They're coordinated through the elite who have a different worldview. And they think that really mankind is a cancer on this earth and needs to be destroyed. And this is an elitist attitude. And you can go to the Georgia Guidestones we talk about in my sustainable development syllabus, or you can certainly get information on them by going into the internet, the Georgia Guidestones, where they openly talk about, reducing the population 90%. They have an agenda. They know what they're doing. Well, if you're out there and you'd like to talk to Michael or know more about sustainable development, the number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And, Michael, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, there's a whole series of terminology that American sustainable developers put to regular use. And it's important. You can go to our website and you can find some of these, or you can find a good solid list of these, what I call warm and fuzzy expressions, which are always the telltale sign that you're listening to a sustainable developer. And that doesn't mean they understand fully what they're doing. I mean, you got to remember back to what Lenin said about the communist movement in Russia at the beginning of the 20th century. You know, he said, only a few need to know what we mean. The rest are just useful idiots who are doing our dirty work. Well, that describes America today, because there are these especially young college kids who just sing this tune, the sustainable development tune, wherever they go. Some of them know what they're really doing. Some of them have an understanding of the politics behind it. Many don't. But when you hear the three E's, is what they call them, the three E's, environment, economy, and equity, put your antenna up, because that's the symbolic expression that kind of covers the total framework of sustainable development. And what these three E's are equity, which means using the law to re-engineer humanity. It's social and environmental justice. They do this through what they call the precautionary principle. And this is actually taught in every Los Angeles elementary school as the basis for American law. What the precautionary principle holds is this. It's the notion that a person can take no action which may result in harm. That's why here in Santa Cruz, the federal government came into town and tried to make it the law that if it were even possible that you might have a long-toed salamander on your property, you couldn't walk on your property during its mating season, which is all winter, because you couldn't prove you didn't step on one. Now, that kind of rulemaking is happening quietly across the country. It's always justified, not on the presumption of innocence, but on the precautionary principle. The exact opposite of the jurisprudence upon which America was established.
I mean, the things that are happening are so incredible. I know that Michael can tell you some personal horror stories of his. I know I have some property, a very valuable industrial property. And we're talking about, I won't tell you how much it was worth, but a great deal for every acre of land. And they just took away 4 acres of land because there was a fern there. Well, only one or two little ferns, but that meant that if there were ferns, they had to be a wetland. So, I mean, they simply made that you can't do anything with the property. You won't understand what this is about until suddenly this hits you. It hits your farm. It hits somebody you know. But they're using one guise or another to take away your property. The whole idea of taking away private property to give to developers, well, that's, after all, the developer's going to put in something, raise more tax revenue to help the community. And the Supreme Court goes right along with this sort of thing.
Well, people need to realize that we're not saying no development is happening in the United States because of these principles. What we are saying is that the development that does occur is not happening as a result of free enterprise. And as soon as we have the public-private partnership dynamic ruling all economics, we're no different than what Mussolini and later Hitler envisioned for their countries. Public-private partnership is a sweet, polite term for economic fascism. And I wouldn't even say we're moving in that direction quickly. I think it could be said we're there. And that dooms, along with these wild spending programs, that dooms the American dollar and the American economy to ruination.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you'd be interested in talking to Michael, maybe you'd like more documentation, know where you can find out if this is really true. Or maybe you've already had your aux cord. Give us a call. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, the second E in this the series of three E's that combine together with interconnected circles is how they display it, is the economy. So by economy, what a sustainable developer means is this. It's the international redistribution of America's wealth. And boy, the evidence of that is clear as could be if you look at the trade agreements in this hemisphere. They are destroying the American farmland. They are destroying the American manufacturing base. And this is all with a purpose, because the purpose is to decimate the middle class and to redistribute our wealth to poor countries in the northern and southern hemisphere. It's about the replacement also of free enterprise with public-private partnership. So it's a total restructure of the foundations of the American philosophy. And it's happening, you know, with a cheering squad on the sidelines, especially amongst young people. And well, that's the part that makes me the saddest, because our college institutions are failing.
We've got Will calling from Missouri. Let's go to Will. Hi, Will. How are you doing?
Well, hello, Dr. Stan. Hello, Michael. I've got a amen corner, if I can, in regards to the topic about coming into the small towns with comprehensive planning. Here in southwest Missouri, there's a small town. It's the county seat. It's called Pineville. It's about 780 population, and they have a comprehensive plan that was recently passed. It includes things like viewshed corridors, and for transportation, they suggest horseback or canoeing or bicycling and walking. This is cattle country, of course. You don't walk on the ground here. We drive trucks, four-wheelers, four dualies, diesel. But this is the kind of thing that's coming, and if people feel that this is going to be just the West Coast or the East Coast, they're sadly mistaken, and they need to go down to the courthouse and find out for themselves.
Well, of course, we have the Sustainable Development Syllabus that has this whole plan laid out. We have copies of the Santa Cruz Agenda 21, where they openly talk about doing away with farming, doing away with cars, doing away with these ideas of private property. This is long-term planning. They know exactly what they're doing, and step by step, they're carrying it out. So I agree with you, Will, but you've got to help us get the information out. You've got to get to the people there in your county and get them to rescind this whole thing, because pretty soon they're going to be taking away their property under the guise of, oh, we've got to have setbacks from the rivers. We can't be contaminated. The rivers are, or, you know, we've got to have a protection for the rivers because there might be fish in them there that might be an endangered fish of some sort, or an endangered fern or salamander, and they will always find a reason to take away your freedom.
Well, as small of a town as it is, Dr. Stent, even in this comprehensive plan, what they want to do is to build a compact city out of this little burg, and there's not even a grocery store here since Walmart came in, but I'll be working on it, you can be sure, and thank you for having Michael Shaw on the air.
Well, God bless you, and go to Michael's website, but the more than that, you get people starting to listen to our program, and we'll give them an opportunity to learn the truth and to get a copy of our Sustainable Development Syllabus, and copy it and get copies of the Earth Charter written by that great American patriot, Mikhail Gorbachev, along with Marie Strong and Stephen Rockefeller and Elson Rockefeller's son, representing the richest family in the Western Hemisphere, and they have a plan to take away your land and your property and your wealth, and they talk about equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations, and that's in the Earth Charter, but they're not talking about their wealth they're going to redistribute. It's your wealth.
Anything else, Will? No, thank you so much for taking my call.
God bless.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you again, and our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And, you know, from the little towns there in Missouri, all across America this is happening. And, you know, unless, of course, somebody tells you what's going on down at the City Hall, you don't want to go to the City Hall. You don't want to waste your time going to these meetings and planning commission meetings and visioning meetings and you know, all of this. But, of course, if you're not involved, believe me, the other side is. And they're going to take away your water if you live in a rural area. You're not going to be able to have a well. You're going to be forced into a sustainable community. You've run into that, haven't you, Michael?
Well, I certainly have. And what Will's call really demonstrates is that you don't have to be in a, you know, left-wing county like Santa Cruz, which has had a tax on private property well since before 1992, and you don't have to be in a big city like Chicago or Los Angeles or New York. You can be out in little rural Missouri, and these globalist forces are in there. And of course they've got to be in there because it's about a land grab. It's about the hugest land grab and the greatest system of control ever devised by the minds of men. They are devilishly inspired, and they have infiltrated levels of government across the world at the highest levels and at the lowest levels, and that's why we are fast moving to the dynamic where if ordinary citizens don't rise up individually and ultimately collectively, America is doomed.
And, of course, the thing is, there is a spiritual component behind this. This is how they're able to accomplish what they do. These people, at the very top of this, I believe, are demonically inspired. And you only need to read their writings to understand the spiritual component that energizes this whole movement. And it goes along with this New World Order, the New World Religion. But this whole environmental movement has a spiritual component to it. And this is why so many people are blinded. And they're spiritually blinded. They can't see what they're doing. They can't see that through this process, they're destroying the very freedoms that once made America the envy of the entire world. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. Our guest today is Michael Shaw of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. That's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. Go to their website. Get Michael's material. It's good. It's valid. And will help you to really understand what this is about. Well, Michael, certainly you've been out speaking and talking. And do you think that we're making any progress? Do you think some people are beginning to understand what's really going on?
Well, you know, the people that I talk to and work with generally, to a person say yes, to which I always respond, well, I must have higher standards because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the understanding of this most threatening movement in the history of the world is so far under understood that we're all subject to a huge threat, and that eats at me, because if your mother or your father or your children or your siblings, your neighbors, your clergymen don't understand this, you, along with them, are going to be in trouble. America's in deep trouble. You know, this concept that the environment is and that nature is more important than man, which really represents that third E of the sustainable development movement. It's equity, economy, and environment, meaning nature over man, poses because of the money that stands behind it and the manipulation that they've been able to muster to make this stuff happen as humankind's greatest threat in all of our history.
Well, Michael, I agree with you, everything that you're saying. You know, as this whole thing unfolds, you mentioned there was a professor here in Santa Cruz who talked about eliminating 90% of the population. What was the background of that statement?
Well, it's that the Earth's support systems. He's a drafter of the Wildlands Project, which is half of the land use program of sustainable development. But these people argue that the Earth's natural support systems can't handle more than 500 million people. Now, that's 93% fewer than what exists today. And people like David Foreman argue that the world can't support more than 100 million people. These people have no sense of the capacity of humankind to create. And clearly, that's been the pattern, especially in a free society like America, where the potential for improvement remains limitless. Al Gore is wrong in thinking and saying that we've gone about as far as we can go. We've gone as far as we will go if the philosophy of sustainable development suppresses the capacity of people working in their own interests to improve their life while improving the lives of others.
Well, of course, Al Gore was one of the architects of this whole sustainable development program back in 1992. Well, if you had anything written by this professor, I would love to get it, if you wouldn't mind. I've heard similar things from, I know, Professor Dr. Sam Keen in 1994 at the Gorbachev Conference. I made a statement to that effect. In other words, we had to eliminate 90% of the world's population. He got a standing ovation from the people there at the Gorbachev Conference, State of the World Conference. statements. We know that recently a professor at the University of Texas made a similar statement. I'm sort of collecting those. If you have anything written by this gentleman, I would love to get it to put into my update on population control. You know, we hear how terrible Adolf Hitler was. I mean, he killed 6 million Jews. And not only that, but he killed about 12 million others we never talk about because most of them are Christians. But, you know, when we talk about the environmentalists, I mean, they make Hitler look like a piker. Jacques Cousteau talked about the necessity of eliminating 365,000 people a day.
Per day.
And I really believe that if we get into a war with Iran, you know, and we've got about 1.25 billion Muslims, the only real solution is to kill them all. I mean, at least that seems to be the attitude that they're pushing today as they're trying to foment hatred within our society. And, you know, I think that some of those Muslims might just strike back and we might see a terrible bloodbath. But wars are a very efficient means of limiting population, especially when we're talking about nuclear war. Michael, do you have a parting thought for our listeners before we let you go?
Well, we're in a serious time, and America certainly faced no greater time for taking these public issues very seriously, because if we don't, there will not be an America for our children, at least not an America that represents the land of the free, the home of the brave. Now is the time. It's not the time to pick up guns. It's the time to get informed and to take local action, because there's a global movement coming in and infiltrating all of our local communities.
You're right.
And that's where we must take the stand against what's happening.
God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us. Michael Shaw, bye-bye. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news, because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091, or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once, and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Well, I just stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and Certainly, we hope that many of you want to get the material on sustainable development. We have a great sustainable development syllabus. It's got all sorts of information on population control, the global biodiversity assessment report, the world water policy, the Earth Charter. It's all there. But the material you really need to know. And, of course, I suggest you get the video that goes with that. It's entitled Sustainable Development. The road to world government. There's also a four-tape set on sustainable development. And then, of course, we have a copy of the Agenda 21, which is published here in Santa Cruz for our community. Certainly, we have the population control video, four-tape set. You can get the population control special, which we really advise, and you'll learn so much about the plan for the concentration camps and so much for the plan of population control. And then, of course, we have a video or DVD called Planned Population Reduction. This and so much more is available at our website. That's RadioLiberty.com. But let me suggest the syllabus and either the video or the four tape set or both of them. And then, of course, the population control video, four tape set, or the population control special. And then, of course, the video or DVD Planned Population Reduction. You'll get the information you need, and of course, if you get any of these items and you specifically request a copy of my monograph on the Population Control Agenda, it's really one of the best things available out there and available to you by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, AIDS is simply a population control mechanism. The book Emerging Viruses goes into how this virus was made. My book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, that's AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, goes into the background of simply the politics of AIDS and how doctors were blocked at every turn from trying to address the epidemic. And so far, between 20 and 30 million people have died unnecessarily. Another 50 million people are infected. But they're coming up with even new, more deadly diseases, and we'll be talking about that and many other things at our conference. We do hope many of you are planning on coming on the 29th of October, all-day seminar. There'll be Constance Cumby. She'll be giving two talks. Chris Pinto will be talking for an hour and a half. Michael Shaw, you just heard, will be there. Barrett Shows. I'll be talking. It'll be all day long, and believe me, it'll be a great conference. And Santa Cruz is a beautiful area to visit that time of year. If you do need hotel reservations, why, this next week, why, they'll still be available, but by the end of the week, why, you won't get the special rate, although there's lots of motels and hotels around. There's one in close proximity. Then we have a block of rooms still reserved there for people attending the Radio Liberty Seminar. So again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. There really is a satanic conspiracy. There are people who are knowingly working for this satanic movement. They have websites, the Lucius Trust, the Association of World Servers, something of that sort. You can go to the Lucius Trust and get the links to these other organizations, and you'll find some of the most wealthy foundations in the world. The foundation is the most wealthy man in the world. Just happens to be linked to the Lucius Trust. I wonder if he knows that the Lucius Trust, subsidiary, New World Service, is a branch of an organization that used to be known as the Lucifer Publishing House. Well, maybe he just doesn't have any idea. All shucks. Or maybe he's being rewarded. Maybe the richest people in the world are being rewarded for selling their souls to the devil. Have you seen the videos we have on they sold their souls for rock and roll? They sold their souls for rock and roll, or the Da Vinci Con, or Rape of the Soul? There's so many things available from Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, because it's the spiritual battle. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, today our guest is William Federer, a good friend who's written the book America's God and Country, and so many of the books we actually carry on St. Nicholas and on St. Patrick and on George Washington Carver, and we'll talk more about those later. But right now, Bill Federer, thanks very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, great to be with you.
And we were going to talk, about the Pope's speech that has created so much consternation, or what would you really like to talk about today?
Yeah, and to give a background for the listeners that aren't aware of what he was talking about, and it just really highlights the fact that we are in a cultural conflict that is not going to go away anytime soon and has been around for over 1,000 years.
All right, you go right ahead then. What was the background? Most people don't understand the Byzantine Empire, the Ottoman Empire. They don't understand the history of the Muslim world. So you pick up, as always, William Federer has a fascinating story and a wonderful grasp of the history that actually explains why the Pope said what he did.
Well, one of the things I think it's important to do is to go back to the beginning. And may have shared it before, but for the sake of the listeners that haven't heard it, Muhammad started his faith in 622 B.C., I mean A.D., but it was after the fall of the Roman Empire. And Rome, for those that aren't aware, was in existence for nearly 1,000 years, but it was being invaded by illegal immigrants, the Ostrogoths and Visigoths and Angles and Saxons and Jutes and Lombards. These first came in across the Rhine River Valley slowly, and they learned the Latin language and assimilated and worked as servants. Some of them were slaves. Matter of fact, the Romans brought so many Eastern European peoples, the Slavic peoples, into Rome to be the servants that the word Slav ended up being pronounced slave, and it turned out to be a permanent servant. And but anyway, the after a while, they began to come across the border so fast that they didn't learn the Latin language. They didn't learn the Roman Republican representative form of government. You know, the Romans would send senators down to the city of Rome, you know. But they ended up keeping their own tribal form of government. Meanwhile, Rome had its military stretched around the world, putting out global fires from North Africa to the Middle East up to Britain. And Rome was being attacked with terrorist attacks. Attila the Hun was sweeping through, wiping out whole cities of 75,000 people. And the country had to go in debt to pay for all these military expenditures. And then on top of that, they had the welfare system. The whole city of Rome was on welfare. They would give out free bread. Meanwhile, the people were preoccupied with violent entertainment, the Colosseums, the bloody fights to the death. And they had, their homosexual bathhouses. I went to school in Rome for 6 months in college, and we would tour the ruins, and you would see where the slaves would be under the floor stoking the fires to keep the jacuzzis bubbling above floor in these very nice, male bathhouses. They had gymnasiums, and of course we say, what's wrong with a gymnasium? Well, gym is the Greek word for naked, and that's where a bunch of naked men ran around, is a gymnasium. Romans had prostitution, where many shopkeepers would have a prostitute in front of their shop to do favors for customers. If anybody went to Pompeii, I don't necessarily recommend it.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
If you're looking at the world today from within the box, you must see total chaos and feel lost with no hope. Out-of-the-box thinkers, such as Nostradamus, who saw the world from a different perspective, knew that nature or God's truth would prevail. They saw that today's organized religions and governments are being judged, not with the hand of man through atomic wars, but with the hand of God through natural disasters. We are judging ourselves during this trying apocalyptic period by all our hidden truths being uncovered. Don't you see this happening through the media today? Just remember these famous words. Everything hidden will be uncovered, and the truth will make you free. For evidence of these statements, get Jerry Vanno's new book, The Uncovering of the Greatest Story Never Told. Go to www.gvanno.com. That's www.gvanno.com.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Are you totally satisfied with the nourishment you're getting? Do you have enough energy to do everything you really want to do? And are you content to remain in your current state of health indefinitely? Have you already tried diets, exercise, vitamins, juicing, or the latest, greatest nutritional wonder products? Perhaps those things have grown tiresome and not made you feel and look as well as you'd really like to. But what if you found from a single source the world's freshest, purest, most complete, whole, live food nourishment that tastes delicious and couldn't be any easier to consume? Well, you just did. So don't hesitate. Take the living energy you've always wanted from your nutrition right now. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on gcnlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William Federer is just talking about what happened in Pompeii. I thought Pompeii was a terribly depraved place where sexual immorality was, well, almost as bad as in Las Vegas and San Francisco today. Under any circumstances, we know what happened to Pompeii there on the side of the great volcano. But pick up the story there, William.
And then the Romans would have exposure of unwanted infants. When the mother would bear a child, she'd lay it at her father's feet. And if he picked it up and inspected it and liked it, they would keep it. But if he didn't or thought that they couldn't afford it, she had to get rid of it and would put it in some pagan temple or out in the woods. And the early Christians would hear those babies crying and rescue them and raise those orphans. And many became very famous preachers. And but one of the historians at the and by, besides that, Rome had outsourced all of its grain production to North Africa. That was the grain basket. And then when the Vandals, that was the name of one of the tribes, when they came through the Roman Empire through Spain into Africa, they conquered the grain fields and cut it off so that Rome could not mount a counterattack. And so the Roman historian Salvian said, the Goths lie but are chaste. The Franks lie but are vicious. He said, the Saxons are savage in cruelty but admirable in chastity. What hope can there be for the Romans when the barbarians are more pure than they? He said, O Roman people, be ashamed of your lives. Almost no cities are free of evil dens, except those in which the barbarians have begun to live. Let no one think otherwise. The vices of our bad lives have alone destroyed us. And so that's why we use the saying that Rome fell from the inside, that it crumbled in debt, morally and financially. It stretched its military all around, couldn't defend its borders, and it began to get overrun by the outside. Anyway, when Rome fell, it created a power vacuum. It temporarily, for another century and a half, as the Western Roman Empire fell, Byzantine Empire began to rise. And Constantinople was the head of the Eastern Roman Empire, called the Byzantine Empire, and it would fight the to maintain the borders from these invading tribes. Anyway, it was into that power vacuum at the fall of Rome that in 622 A.D., so Rome fell in 476 A.D., but in 622 A.D. is when Muhammad started his faith. And Muhammad couldn't read his whole life. He was illiterate. His dad died, so he was raised by his uncle, who was a camel driver, and he took him around through North Africa and the Arabian Peninsula over to Turkey and Middle East. So Muhammad heard about the different great faiths. He couldn't read the Old Testament, and so what he heard was the oral traditions. You know, in Jewish scriptures, they have the Talmud, which is a written scripture, a written commentary on the scriptures, and then there's the Midrash and the Mishnah, which are oral commentaries on the written commentaries. And so what he heard was second and third hand removed. And then the area where he lived in North Africa was where a lot of Christian heresies were. And one was Arianism, where they said Jesus is a little less than God. There was another heresy called Nestorianism that said Jesus was all God. There was another heresy called Ebionites, where they believed that you had to be a Jew and had to be real poor, and that Jesus was man. Anyway, Muhammad married his wife, who was a widow. She was very wealthy. And the person that said the wedding was the wife's uncle, who was an Ebionite priest. So it was one of those heretical forms of Christianity priest. So what Muhammad heard about Christianity was far removed from the scriptures and from the Orthodox teaching. His whole life, he thought the Trinity was the Father, Mary, and Jesus, you know, like a little family. And it wasn't until a month before he died that somebody told him that, no, it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But by that time, his whole faith had been based on the other. And then he was heard about all the different pagan gods that were going on and being worshipped in Mecca and Medina and in Arabia. The most popular pagan god was Allah, which was the moon god. And they worshipped a rock, a meteor rock that fell from the sky. And so he was... he mixed all these together to come up with his Quran. And one of the things that scholars find pretty obvious is there was the Gospel of Barnabas, which was written 400 years after Jesus. And all scholars can date it with accuracy that it was written in the 4th century. And that would be like you and I writing a first-hand account of the pilgrims, you know, in the 1600s. So... the gospel, according to Barnabas, was this fictitious story of Jesus when he was a little boy, and it said that he made clay birds and breathed on them, and they flew away, and he got mad, killed one of his playmates, and his dad made him raise them up again. Well, guess what story made it into the Quran? Well, that Jesus made little clay birds when he was a kid and blew on them, and they flew away, and then he killed one of his playmates, and his dad made him raise them up again. And so we see the influences that got mixed in this big pot that he was able to coalesce into his faith. When he first made his faith, he there was a thriving Jewish community in Quraysh in Arabia, and he went in there thinking that, oh, they're going to be thrilled and they're going to like this. there are two different sets of verses in the Quran. There's the Meccan verses and the Medina verses. Mecca was the first city that he began to write, and the Medina was the second. You can remember this real easy because M-E-C for Mecca and then M-E-D for Medina, the C comes before D in the alphabet, okay? So anyway, the Meccan verses say to bow to Jerusalem five times a day. And it says that to respect the people of the book. Well, he went into Quraysh. The Jews didn't receive him. He got all upset. They had some battles. He made a treaty and left. And then a couple years later, was strong enough, went in there and conquered them, cut off the heads of 700 men in the town square and sold the women and children as slaves. And this gave birth to a concept in Islam that when you're strong, you attack. When you're weak, you make treaties until you can get strong enough to attack. And that's what the problem that the Jews face with the Hezbollah and so forth. And matter of fact, Yasser Arafat years ago made a treaty with Menachem Begin, and he was questioned about it when he visited a mosque in South Africa in 1994. And he said, oh, this is just like the treaty that the Prophet Muhammad made at Quraysh, which they all understood as, oh, okay, this means you make a treaty with him until you can get strong enough to wipe him out. And so Muhammad broke his treaty, and he began to get his uncle converted, his nephew converted, and the theology that he came up with of Islam, the word Islam means submission, and a Muslim is somebody who has submitted. And so they see the world in two halves, or two houses. There's the house of Islam, which has submitted to Allah, and that's where there's peace. They think there will only be peace when the whole world has submitted to Allah. And so for them, world peace means world Islam. And then the other half of the world is called the house of war, or the house of jihad, which is in the process of becoming the house of Islam. And so a Muslim sees the world as Muslim and going to be Muslim. The difference between a moderate Muslim and a violent Muslim is a moderate Muslim thinks that Islam will conquer the world, just not during their lifetime, so what's the big rush? A violent Muslim thinks, no, it's going to happen during our lifetime when we want to help make it happen. And anyway, Muhammad waged 66 battles in his lifetime. He had 14 wives, the youngest being 9 years old. As long as his widow wife was alive, he was pretty, you know, a one-woman man. When she died, he basically gave in to the desire to have as many wives as he wanted, and he did. And so a typical, the Quran says that a man can have four wives, and then there was one situation where his men were fighting on some, siege, and they had been away from their wives for quite a while, and they came to Muhammad saying, what, are we to be eunuchs? And he says, okay, well, you can take a temporary wife of the people that they capture. And so they would, you know, take the women, but the provision was they could only have a temporary wife for 1 year. And so it's given birth to the situation in Islam where they'd have basically year-long prostitutes that would, you know, set up shop with a man for a year, and then they would rotate and rotate and rotate. So it's definitely different. It's not the, the Judeo-Christian marriage where it's one man and one woman. So Muhammad, his faith spread. They would ride into town. He began to go to Medina after this, and then he wrote his Medina verses. And his Medina verses are more violent. They are more against the people of the book rather than accommodating. They came up with a second-class status for Christians and Jews called Dhimmis. It's actually a legal term. It's Dhimmis, which means second-class citizens of Christians and Jews, so they have to pay higher taxes. If they are fighting them, they get killed, but once they're conquered, then they grant them peace by allowing them to live, but they have to pay higher taxes. They can't hold jobs above a Muslim. There was a case when they conquered Turkey that there were several businesses, you know, like wine growers and stuff like that, and the Muslims didn't want the non-Muslims to have those businesses, so they simply just took them away. And the Christians and Jews had to, you know, or the Christians had to take the jobs of taking care of the pigs and stuff like that, because the Muslims don't like the pigs. But the situation was that the second verse, the Medina verses, were more aggressive, and so they began to spread. And Muhammad and his followers would ride into town and say, submit or die. And if you didn't submit, you died. If you did submit, they'd say, get your sword and your horse, follow us to the next town. they'd ride into the next town and say, submit or die. And if you didn't submit, you died. If you did submit, they'd say, get your sword and your horse on. So there would ride. There were 250 Catholic dioceses along North Africa in the 7th and 8th century, and the Muslims wiped them all out. I mean, North Africa was very Christian. That's where Augustine of Hippo, you know, St. Augustine was from. In Alexandria, they had a thriving Jewish Christian community. I mean, that's where they translated the Septuagint. The Old Testament was translated into Greek there in Alexandria, North Africa. There was actually the largest library in the world was in Alexandria, North Africa. I mean, we're talking stuff that went all the way back to Abraham's day. And the sheikh that conquered it said all books that don't agree with the Quran should be destroyed, and all books that do agree with the Quran are redundant. We don't need them because we have the Quran, so destroy them all. And so they burnt this library to the ground. I mean, just a huge amount of world history that was just trash.
Hold that thought there, Bill. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty, and our guest is William Federer.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems? Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Do you need money to help pay for health care costs or to supplement your retirement income? Are you 65 years of age or older and own a life insurance policy with a death benefit of $250,000 or more that's getting too expensive or no longer needed? Are you considering canceling or surrendering your life insurance policy for its cash value? Hermosa Group can evaluate your policy to see if you qualify for a life settlement. A life settlement can generate more money than the surrender value, and you can receive a lump sum payment within 45 days. Having your policy evaluated by Hermosa Group is free, easy, and carries no obligation. All policies qualify. Sell your life insurance policy for a large cash settlement today. Call 888-590-8705. That's 888-590-8705 to find out how much your policy is worth. Enjoy the benefits of a life settlement from Hermosa Group. Call 888-590-8705. That's 888-590-8705.
Opal. Manuel Palaeologus wrote his letter that the Pope quoted.
Hold that thought right there. And of course, our guest is William Federer. And what was the date then that the Muslim conquered Constantinople?
It was in 1452.
1452. All right, fine. So, and then of course it was the leader of Constantinople that made the statement that the Pope had quoted. And what basically was the statement?
The Pope talked about how God does not like it when religions are spread by the sword. This is an actual quote from the Pope. He says this, without descending to details, such as the difference in treatment according to those who have the book and the infidels, Manuel II Palaeologus, who was the emperor of the Byzantine, Constantinople, the emperor turns to somewhat brusquely to the central question of the relationship between religion and violence. In general, he says these words, show me just what Muhammad brought new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread by the sword the faith he preached. That's the quote, and then the Pope goes on to explain. The emperor goes on to explain in detail the reasons why spreading the faith through violence is something unreasonable. Violence is incompatible with the nature of God and the nature of the soul. God is not pleased, and this is a quote again from Emperor Manuel. He says, God is not pleased by blood and not acting reasonably is contrary to God's nature. Faith is born out of the soul, not of the body. Whoever would lead someone to faith needs the ability to speak well and to reason properly without violence and threats. To convince a reasonable soul, one does not need to be a strong arm or weapon of any kind. So the Pope is talking about how we should not use violence to spread a faith. And that was the context of the quote that he used. And I was so amazed. Newt Gingrich, just 2 days ago, was asked about it after the Muslims, in response to this speech by the Pope, the Muslims killed a nun in Somalia, attacked several other Christian priests and nuns and destroyed some churches. And so Newt Gingrich says, all the Muslims have done is confirm what the Pope said. That here they are, violent, spreading their faith through violence, and the fact that they threatened the Pope with violence for pointing out the fact that they used violence to spread, they're doing nothing more than confirming the fact that they are the ones that are in the wrong in using violence to spread their faith.
Well, of course, what's really so strange is that, of course, the Pope was quoting something that had been said, back in the 12th, 13th century. So, so why would they be so upset? Simply that was the heritage of the Muslim faith that was spread by the sword. It looks to me like they're making a mountain out of a molehill, almost as if they're trying to inflame people on both sides of the issue.
I think so, and it's interesting that the fall of Constantinople is very critical in world history, because from 1271 on, there was trade from Western Europe with India and China across the Gobi Desert and the China Silk Road. The 1271 is when Marco Polo, the Italian from, Venice, went over to China. China was ruled by Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan conquered all the way from, Korea and Japan to Hungary and Austria to Russia down to India, Iran, Persia, just a very huge area. And Genghis Khan was a warrior. He just loved fighting. Well, anyway, his grandson was Kublai Khan. And by this time, it was all conquered, and Kublai Khan was the ruler of this empire. Kublai Khan didn't trust the local people, and so he liked using foreigners to be his administrators. That's one of the reasons that he never assimilated with the Chinese people, and so they eventually overthrew his followers, you know, a couple generations later. But nevertheless, it was during this time that Marco Polo and his dad, Niccolo Polo, and his uncle, Matteo Polo, went over there, and Kublai Khan used them as ambassadors and as statesmen, and they worked for 25 years. Matter of fact, Kublai Khan, after a while, they went back to the West, and he begged him to stay, and then he said, well, you know, if you go, please come back. And then he says, bring 100 teachers of your holy faith to back with you, and bring a flask of oil from the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. And so anyway, when Marco Polo returned, he only had two preaching friars that were going to come with him. And they got scared when they went through an area of Turkey and there was battles going on, and they left. You think, boy, what would have happened if there were 100 teachers of Christianity that would have gone across there in the 1300s? But nevertheless, from Marco Polo on, there was trade with India and China through that road. But when Constantinople fell, it cut off the trade. So Western Europeans were trying to figure out an alternative route to get to India and China.
Hold that thought.
Finally,
we'll be back.
In 1492,
hold that thought. Happened. We'll be right back here.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com. Or call 877-300-7645.
Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radiativity, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radiativity Health Catalog.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Lid 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Realized it wasn't there. But
hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is William Penner, and he's just going into the background of Columbus's journey to the Western Hemisphere. And, of course, when he got to the islands, you know, of the Caribbean, he thought he was in India, so he called them, they were the West Indies. That's why they're, to this day, they're known as the West Indies, because Columbus never realized, it took him a long time to realize, he really wasn't in India. They were really looking for a path to China and India so they could resume the trade, which has existed several centuries earlier under Marco Polo. So pick up the story there, Bill.
So in a sense, in a very real sense, Dr. Stan, if Islam was a peaceful religion, Columbus would have never set sail. If Islam was a peaceful religion, they would have continued the trade route through Constantinople, through the Gobi Desert to China and India. Why risk something new when we could have kept doing what they were doing for hundreds of years? But when Constantinople was taken over, it was turned into Istanbul, and then at that point, the Western European countries in Austria and Poland began to fight the Muslims and hold them off, and they're settled into a period of this. The area they conquered was the House of Islam, and the other area was the House of War, but it was like, I guess, it was a period in which Islam was more or less more peaceful because they weren't on the war path, so to speak. And so they kept the areas that they'd conquered. We did have the Crusades, which were nothing more than trying to take back the Christian area because all of the Middle East was Christian. I mean, that's where the church began, for heaven's sakes. And they just, when... you know, in the 7th century, when the Muslims conquered the city of Jerusalem, Western Europe was in confusion. The Roman Empire had fallen, and so there wasn't anybody to send help. And so basically the Crusades were a belated sending of help to the Christians that had lived over there. But because it had taken them, you know, about approximately 300 years before the First Crusade in 1000 A.D., that historians like to leave out the fact that the Muslims had conquered that area first, took it away from the Christians and the Jews, and they try to make it look like, well, the Crusaders went over there to take it away from them, but it originally was Christian and Jew, which, you know, sort of ironic, because when the Muslims say, well, we want Jerusalem back, we want the Jews to give us Jerusalem, well, if you're going to give it back to the original owners, when are the Muslims going to give it back to the Byzantine Christians, you know, the Eastern Orthodox Church? So here's an interesting quote from Teddy Roosevelt, the 26th president of the United States, and I love him. He wrote a book, and he's really in your face with his book titles. The title of his book is Fear God and Take Your Own Part, and this book was published in 1916. Teddy Roosevelt said, Christianity is not the creed of Asia and Africa at this moment solely because the 7th century Christians of Asia and Africa had trained themselves not to fight, whereas the Muslims were trained to fight. Christianity was saved in Europe solely because the people of Europe fought. If the people of Europe in the 7th and 8th centuries, up to and including the 17th century, had not possessed a military equality with and a gradual superiority over the Mohammedans who invaded Europe, Europe would at this moment be Mohammedan, and the Christian religion would be exterminated. Wherever the Mohammedans have had complete sway, wherever the Christians have been unable to resist them by the sword, Christianity has ultimately disappeared. From the hammer of Charles Martel to the sword of John Sobieski, S-O-B-I-E-S-K-I, Sobieski, who was a Polish leader in the 1700s, Christianity owed its safety in Europe to the fact that it could and would fight as well as the Mohammedan aggressor. And
it was actually the Polish leader who actually stood there at the gates of Vienna in the 1680s and, of course, forced the Mohammedans into retreat. And after that, they pretty much stayed down in their own part of the world. But although they did, of course, control the area of Bosnia and certainly Albania, places like that are Muslim. But they were pretty well driven out of Europe, and they were forced, of course, to stop their effort to try to conquer all of Europe.
You know, an interesting tidbit that ties in with America. In early 1700s, the date you mentioned was 16. What was that?
It was in the 1680s, and I forgot if it was 1682 or 1688, but it was then, of course, that the Muslims were at the gates of Vienna. And of course, Vienna held.
And it's interesting that one of the young soldiers that fought there for Austria, defending Vienna, was James Oglethorpe. He was 17 years old. And James Oglethorpe was a career military young man. And after he finished fighting, he went back to England, where his dad was a rich parliamentarian. James Oglethorpe got a position in Parliament and got into a fight with somebody and was thrown in jail and saw how terrible the jails were. One of his friends actually died in the jails. And the jails in England at the time, they didn't give you food. You had to have your own family come to the jail and bring you food. I mean, it was a rough place. And so he began a prison ministry of taking care of the poor prisons. And then he came up with an idea. Rather than sticking these, because people get thrown in prison for not paying a debt, you know, things that weren't necessarily crimes. And so he had an idea of getting King George the First to give him some land in America. And King George gave him Georgia. And so James Oglethorpe is the founder of the colony of Georgia. And his secretary was Charles Wesley, who was the brother of John Wesley, who started the Methodist Church. And we all know Charles Wesley because he wrote, Hark the Herald Angels Sing and a bunch of Christmas carols. So anyway, you can sort of get the picture of how it ties together. Well, when America started, there were no Muslims in America. I mean, there's only 1% Muslim in America today. At the time of our country's founding, 98% of the country was Protestant, about 2% Catholic, and about 0.1% was Jewish. In the 1790s, the Muslim Barbary pirates of North Africa began attacking the American ships and enslaving our sailors. And so we had to send an ambassador over there by the name of Joel Barlow, and trying to get them to sign a treaty to stop attacking our ships. Now, he ran into some difficulty because the Quran forbade Muslims from making treaties with infidels, and they considered Christians infidels. And this is 1700s, and their faith started, in the 600s. So this is 1,000 years that these Muslims had been fighting the quote-unquote Christian nations of Europe. And you read the charters of these early colonies, the King of Spain, his title would be, Holy Christian Emperor, Defender of the Faith. King James of England, it'll say, King James by the grace of God, of King, Scotland, France, Ireland, Defender of the Faith. So these kings of Europe were Christian monarchs, and they saw themselves as defenders of the Christian faith. And so these Muslims of North Africa have been fighting the Christian nations for over 1,000 years. And so here comes this American ambassador from what they perceive to be a Christian nation, and he's saying, look, make a treaty with us. And Joe Barlow realized that the Quran forbid Muslims from making treaties with infidels. And here's a couple of verses out of the Quran. This is Surah 5:17. And Surah means basically chapter and verse. So Surah is verse, but Surah 5:17 says, infidels are those who declare God is Christ, the Son of Mary. Surah 5:73 says, infidels are those who say God is one of three in a Trinity. And then it specifically says, Surah 5:51, believers, take neither the Jew nor the Christian for your friends. So they're not even supposed to make friends, and a treaty is a treaty of friendship. Surah 4:101 says, the infidels are your sworn enemies. Surah 9:123 says, make war on the infidels who dwell around you. Surah 47:4 says, when you meet an infidel in the battlefield, strike off their heads. Surah 48:29 says, Muhammad... I contrast this to Jesus, who said, love your enemies, pray for those that despitefully use you. If they strike you on one cheek, turn the other. If they make you carry something, 1 mile, carry it too. And so, sure, there's been Christians that have been violent, but let's forget the followers. Let's look at the leaders. Muhammad, in his Quran, says, be ruthless to the infidel, strike off their head. Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those that despitefully use you, turn the other cheek. Surah 48:29 says, Muhammad is Allah's apostle, those who follow him are ruthless to infidels. Surah 66:9 says, Prophet, make war on the infidels. I mean, there's just hundreds of verses like this. Matter of fact, Jimmy Carter was giving a speech at one of these, you know, supposed treaties with Israel and the Muslims, and he told his speechwriter to get some quotes about peace from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. Well, they found quotes about peace in the Old Testament. They found quotes about peace in the New Testament. They only found one quote about peace in the Quran. And it said, when your enemy falls down and submits themselves to you, grant them peace. You see, they think that you're supposed to forgive your enemy only after you conquer your enemy. They consider it a sign of weakness to forgive somebody that you haven't yet conquered. And this ambassador in 1798, Joel Barlow, goes over to Tripoli, North Africa, and writes a treaty. And the treaty has been used over and over again by the atheists. And I just want to explain this to the listening audience. The treaty starts off with a line, as the federal government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. That's all they quote. And so they say, see there, our government wasn't founded on the Christian religion. Then they go off and they get away from it. But the two things they don't talk about is, number one, this is the federal government, and in America, religion was under state jurisdiction. And I've recently compiled all the state constitutions and all the colonial charters. You could not hold office in any state without saying, so help me God. For example, North Carolina, you had to be a Protestant to hold office up until 1835, and you had to be a Christian to hold office up until 1876. In Connecticut, you had to belong to the Congregational Christian Church in order to hold office. In Maryland, you had to be a Christian to hold office in 1851. Maryland added Jews, so Jews could also hold office. And so religion was under state's jurisdiction, not the federal government's jurisdiction, because the first 10 amendments limit the federal government from getting involved in religion. So the federal government's limited. Now, they didn't think acknowledging God was religion, so that's why the federal government still acknowledges God. It's God's on our coin. You go to the U.S. Code, even today, the oath in the U.S. Code to become a congressman, a senator, a military officer, a federal judge, every one of those oaths ends with, so help me, God. They did not think God was religious. He was just there. And religion was the particular denominations. Anyway, so the first thing is this quote from Joel Barlow is just talking about the federal government. But the second thing is they don't finish the sentence. It says this, as the federal government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, comma, in the sense that it has in itself no character of enmity against the law, religion, or tranquility of the Muslim, and that as the said states have never entered into any war or active hostility with any Mohammedan nation, it is therefore declared among the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinion shall ever produce an interruption in the harmony existing between the two countries. So that whole second half explains what they meant by the first half. So it wasn't saying they weren't Christian. It's saying in the sense that. I mean, it's like saying the United States is not founded on the English language in the sense that it's required that everybody speak English. Now, it's assumed that everybody's English, but it's not in the law and it's not built upon it. And that's what they meant. The United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian. Now, the 18th century Muslim mind, and indeed the Muslim mind today, cannot separate a government from religion. To them, it's one and the same. And here's President Bush is facing this difficulty. He's trying to say, look, you're going to set up your government over here, and you can have your different versions of religion over here. Well, no, they want to make Sharia law set up in their government. They can't separate the two. So this treaty did not work. They kept attacking our ships. Finally, Thomas Jefferson had to send our Marines in there. We invaded Tripoli, North Africa. We captured the Pasha. We forced him to make peace on our terms. And Jefferson came up with a new treaty that didn't have that questionable phrase in there. And that's where we have the Marine song, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. And matter of fact, the Marine sword has a little curve to it. Well, the Marines confiscated so many of these Muslim swords that were curved. They sort of liked the curve, and so they adopted that, you know, how the soldiers will take back prizes, you know, soldiers from World War II will bring back, you know, a German Luger or some gun, you know. And so they bring back these Muslim swords, and that became the curve in the Marine sword. But anyway, so you see that this was at the beginning of our country. But now, a little side note, when I talk treaties with atheists, and they say, see, this is a treaty that was approved by Congress, and it says the United States is not any sense on the Christian religion. I say, well, we got to look at all the treaties. The treaty that ended the Revolutionary War, the Treaty of Paris, signed by Ben Franklin, John Adams, John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, it starts off in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. It having pleased divine providence to dispose the heart of King George III to forget all past misunderstandings. A treaty that Jefferson signed with the Kaskaskia Indians sets aside $100 a year to support a Christian missionary and $300 to erect a church. A treaty with Russia in 1822 starts off in the name of the most holy and indivisible Trinity. The treaty with Mexico of 1848 starts off in the name of Almighty God. So there are more treaties that acknowledge the Trinity and God than this one that was taken out of context that was trying to appease the Muslims, and it didn't work. We finally had to respond in force.
Yeah. No, we're getting towards the end of the program, and we haven't even got halfway through the story. But right now, before we do anything else, I want to get your website out and your telephone number so people will know how to get in touch with you. And then we're going to get you back on our evening program, and we'll get the whole story a different evening. And all of our listeners can get it. But right now, how can people get in touch with you and your ministry, Bill?
Well, thanks, Dr. Stan. I have a toll-free telephone number. It's 1-888-USA-WORD. That's 1-888-USA-WORD. And I have a website. It's AmericanMinute.com. AmericanMinute.com. And you can go there, sign up for my free daily email called The American Minute, and you can order my books. One of the books that I, some of the stuff I talked on today is in a book called Backfired, A Nation Born for Religious Tolerance No Longer Tolerates Religion. Another book's called American Minute. Has short little historical vignettes like the James Oglethorpe thing and stuff like that, and Kublai Khan and Marco Polo. You get little tidbits for every day of the year, and I send those out as an email, but I also have them as a book. And then, of course, America's God and Country is a best-selling book that every home ought to have. It's an encyclopedia of God and Country quotes. But AmericanMinute.com.
And, of course, that America's God and Country is a great book. It's available both in book or in CD, or you can get them both together. Anyway, our guest has been William Federer. And one more time, the telephone number, Bill.
It's 1-888-USA-WORD. 1-888-USA-WORD.
And to go there, you'll get some great information. Hang on, we're just be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with William Fetter, certainly one of my favorite guests. And then, of course, we carry several. But we have a wonderful book. It's called The Prophet of Doom. It is really the whole background of all the Muslim writings, very carefully cataloged. And, of course, you can actually go into index, read this, and look up any phrase. And you get into the background, and you find actually, Muhammad was concerned. He thought he might be demon-possessed. Read what it says. The information is there from the Hadith and from the Quran and from all the other official Muslim writings written in the first 100 years. Now, of course, you remember that Salman Rushdie had written a book called Satanic Verse. And he simply quoted from the Quran. And they put a contract out to kill him, and he still, of course, has to live in hiding. We have a four-tape set. It's called Islam, the Religion of Doom. So the book, which is really almost 1,000 pages, the book, The Prophet of Doom, and then the four-tape set, Islam, the Religion of Doom, you can get the two of them together. Let me suggest you understand the philosophy of the original Muslim faith and compare it with Christianity. But then to understand how we got into the mess we are today, you really need to get, of course, the book we carry called The Devil's Game. And it goes into how the Muslim faith, really, at the beginning of the 1800s, was, other than the Wahhabis, was really, there was no radical Islamic movement. The Muslims had been beaten down as far as the West was concerned. I mean, they were not in a position to compete with the West. This once great religion, the great scientific accomplishment, suddenly had become to fade into oblivion. And then, of course, along comes the British Intelligence Agency, and this is back in 1870, and MI6, or British Intelligence, begins funding this radical Islamic movement. And after the Second World War, the CIA began funding the radical Islamic movement. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you do something like that? Well, because they were planning, I believe, exactly where we are today. President Ahmadinejad was in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, pardon me, in New York City Wednesday, addressing the United Nations. But where do you think he went after that? Why, he went over to the Council on Foreign Relations to give an address. That's where all of the dictators go, whether it be Fidel Castro or Khrushchev or Putin or Gorbachev. They all go to the Council on Foreign Relations to check in with the people who control and own the United States. And Ahmadinejad was there on Wednesday, but I bet you didn't read that in your local newspaper. Ahmadinejad is a caricature. They're all caricatures. Chavez, I mean, calling our president a devil, this is done specifically to create hatred, and of course everything we're doing is to get the Americans and the West to hate the Muslims, to get the Muslims to hate America, so we can have another world war. You need to get our pamphlets on Foreknowledge 911. What led up to 911? Did they know the attack was coming and allow it to happen? Is that possible? Well, we know, for instance, that we had the Gulf of Tonkin incident that got America involved in Vietnam. And 58,000 American boys died, 1 million South Vietnamese, 2 million North Vietnamese. And then we find out it was a fraud. the Gulf of Tonkin incident didn't occur. And of course, the tapes from the Oval Office where Lyndon Johnson is furious when he finds that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a fraud. Who would be evil and wicked enough to do that? Well, one of them would be Robert McNamara, who today is on the board of directors of the World Futures Society. And you know, up until recently, their logo was a circle with three sixes. There you'll find Marie Strong, you'll find Barbara Marx-Hubbard, whose book, The Revelation, the book of co-creation, was actually channeled to her by a spirit she calls the Christ Spirit. But it wasn't Jesus Christ. It was the other Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You've been listening to Genesis programming for a while now. You may even have supported GCN by purchasing the products or services offered by our sponsors. You may know of other businesses out there that would profit from getting their message across to thousands of listeners at once. The Genesis Communications Radio Network would like to offer you an opportunity to share the profit potential of advertising to the thousands of businesses out there who are needing to get their message across to their target buyers. GCN offers businesses an alternative or complementary avenue of choice to obtain a more direct source of national exposure, and we would like your help in doing so.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
I'm Laura Lee Scholz. At least 15 people have been killed in a high-speed train crash in Germany. Steve Graham is in Berlin.
The high-speed magnetic train was traveling at about 125 miles an hour when it crashed into a maintenance truck on the test track where the magnetic train is being developed in western Germany. The magnetic train slid underneath the maintenance car, shearing off the top of the vehicle. The impact was so fierce that the train has slid underneath the maintenance truck, throwing it into the air, and the truck has then come down on top of the train, crushing it and badly mangling the front of the vehicle. Pieces of debris have been thrown into the fields and woods.
He tells us that Germany has been experimenting with the commercial use of these trains.
The only commercial line in the world is in China. German officials have wrangled for years about whether or not